they were down to the bone at the sort of by the beginning of October. They were down to the bone.
What do you mean they were down to the bone?
You could basically see bone. They were then infected with E. coli. And the smell of them, they didn't change the dressings on a regular basis. So the smell from it, they were supposed to turn her regularly to avoid the likes of pressure sores happening. That very rarely happened. She would have went hours without being turned. She was supposed to be kept at a 30 degree tilt at all times. There was a lot of times she would have been lying on her back rather than being in that tilt.
He had no care in that home whatsoever. And when the doctor says to me, look, we're going to have to try and put a line in here, he says, but this is going to be painful. He says, because his veins have dropped. There is no veins sitting up here. Well, Stephen, my father was in tears. My father was crying.
And I would publicly call a political inquiry into the running of the private sector in our wee country.
They're in that business to run these homes at a certain price.
There has never been a more pressing time for us to have a health minister.
I was aghast to hear it.
Yeah, there's many failures here, Stephen. When you listen to a testimony like that, and as an MLA, I'm embarrassed this morning that this won't be the first point of business on Monday morning in a normal functioning Stormont Assembly.
My father was crying at the excruciating pain that needle was going in to try and find a vein, to try and get a line. And that doctor, I would say that doctor had a tear in his eye when he was doing that.
It's a failure of the most vulnerable in our society.
She was sent back to Dunmurry Manor again, and I was assured by the manager and a few of the nurses that they would get her up and moving and that she wouldn't be in bed for the rest of her time there. That never happened. She spent all her time in bed. I constantly complained for them to get her out of bed. They finally did that in April time, and when they put her in a wheelchair for her lunch, her neck muscles had wasted away, so she couldn't really hold her neck up anymore. So it was just, all right, that's her, she's bedridden from here on in.
If this is the failures that we're storing up in 2018, what hope can we give those that are fearful of what care is there?
Was your mum able to speak to you about her care?
No. As I say, when she did go in on the 18th of February, she could talk, but after the pneumonia, she sort of lost the be able to talk.
By the time of her death, Karen, what weight was she?
4 stone.
I'm sorry?
4 stone.
Just some of the testimony from the relatives of the victims of Dunmurry Manor Care Home. I've been speaking to the legal expert, Joshua Rosenberg. I began by asking him if there is any law that would allow for an investigation into negligence if this is how older people have been treated.
Certainly, if there has been criminal negligence, it's a matter for the police to investigate. But it's worth remembering what Eddie Lynch, the Commissioner for Older People for Northern Ireland, said in his report on this FAD case. He said, before making the decision to commence an investigation, the Commissioner sought assurances that no other organisation intended to or was better placed to conduct an investigation into Dunmurry Manor. In other words, what he seems to be saying is he asked the police service in Northern Ireland, whether they were interested in making inquiries, and they appear, one assumes from this remark, to have told him that they hadn't an intention to investigate because there was no sign of criminal offences. Now, if criminal offences have emerged from his report, it's perfectly possible that the police could investigate.
And what is criminal negligence? How do we define that?
Well, you have to show particularly that the failure to meet the standards of care was so gross that it met the criminal standards. Now, people have been talking about corporate manslaughter. This is a very serious matter. You have to show that the death was caused by a gross breach of a relevant duty of care. In other words, you have to show that the quality of care, this particular care home, was so bad, so serious, that it actually caused somebody's death. And people have been talking about corporate manslaughter, and that's even more difficult to prove. You have to show that the organisation, the company that ran the home, was managed, or its activities were managed or organised in such a way that those activities caused a person's death, and that amounted to a gross breach of the relevant duty of care by the organisation.
And that would clearly be very difficult to do, to try to link someone's death when it is a vulnerable elderly person who will have a number of medical conditions anyway. Obviously, that would be an extremely difficult thing to do, and the authorities in Northern Ireland do not feel that threshold has been met, because a prosecution has not been directed by the PPS in Northern Ireland.
That's right, as we understand it, yes.
Let me ask you, though, Joshua, there is factual evidence, because it was witnessed by a nurse who was actually treating one of these elderly patients, that there was a bed sore so deep that you could see this lady's bone, and that she was shaking with pain. Now, what law is there a law of duty of care to a human being? You know, that would mean that there could at least be a potential offence if a care home allows someone to get into that state.
I think the first thing to say, Stephen, is that if any nurse or anybody, even you or I, saw somebody in such distress, our first instinct would be to try to help that individual, try to protect that individual, regardless of the law. The next thing is obviously that there are laws of assault. In other words, you can't actually cause somebody harm without incurring the wrath of the criminal law. If you were to hit somebody, if you were to drop somebody, then you would be responsible for assault, and that's a criminal offence.
But what if you're responsible for someone's well-being, and you allow them to deteriorate so bad that they get an extreme bed sore, that you don't administer morphine until after a dressing is applied, that you allow someone in your care to be in extreme pain? Is there any law which at least could allow the police to investigate?
I'm sure that there are responsibilities on hospitals and care homes to provide minimum standards of care. The problem, of course, is identifying an individual. Let's say that there are several nurses looking after.
What about the company running it?
Well, again, you have to show that the company was responsible to the required standard of care. There isn't a sort of corporate harm offence in the way that there's a corporate manslaughter offence. It's very difficult to show that the company was actually responsible. For example, you know, who's to say what caused the bed sore, whether the person would have had the bed sore anyway, and so on. There are obviously standards that are required to be met, but actually bringing criminal proceedings may not be very easy. You have to prove who was responsible. It may be very tricky and may not really get you very far.
What about a situation, Joshua, where medicine is prescribed to older people within the home, and the company who is profiting, who is charging a fee, who's being paid from the public purse, the medicine isn't there. They don't order it in time. It doesn't arrive the next day. It doesn't arrive for weeks. So elderly people who need that medicine, they don't get it for weeks. Is there no tort of negligence that a company could be pursued?
Well, yes, you're now talking about a civil claim, and civil claims are very different, because obviously a tort of negligence is very much what you would sue a company for. In other words, you would claim compensation for failing to meet the standards that the company is contracted to provide. But that's the civil court. Beforehand, you were asking about the criminal courts, and obviously the standard is higher, and you have to show, you know, who was actually responsible for an alleged criminal offence.
So the relatives of some of these victims would at least have the possibility of pursuing Runwood Homes Limited in a civil case if there is prima facie evidence of neglect or negligence.
I'm sure that's right, and I'm sure that Ronald Holmes would want to hear any claims, consider any claims, and I suspect settle any claims if there was proof that they or their staff had been negligent, if they had failed to meet the required standard of care. I'm sure that is the sort of thing that any well-run care company would want to do.
Last question. We often hear about the Human Rights Act and our human rights. How does that give us protection when we're old? I'm thinking of the right to life.
Yes, certainly the right to life is absolutely fundamental, and there are no exceptions to the right to life. You can't take somebody's life. You can't expose them to cruel or inhuman treatment or torture or anything like that. If you do, the law must be changed. In a country that signed up to the Human Rights Convention to make sure that doesn't happen. Obviously, that's mainly a matter for the criminal law. But sure, you owe a duty to respect somebody, to respect their private and family life, and if you've taken on responsibility to care for them, you owe a duty to them to care for them according to proper standards. And if you fall down on that duty, you have to pay compensation. But it's a bit different from that to say that you're actually breaking the criminal law.
So might this case we're looking at, Joshua, be something for the Human Rights Commissioner to look at?
If you could show that the care system in Northern Ireland was not compliant with human rights, if it exposed people to a breach of their human rights, as of course was the argument in terms of abortion only a week or two ago in Northern Ireland, then yes, the Northern Ireland Human Rights Commission might well get involved in it. But I think it's a bit different. You'd have to show that there was some failure to meet human rights, the right to life, the right to respect for private and family life, and so on. I'm not at all sure that you've actually established that in this particular case. But you know, you could ask the Human Rights Commission if they think things are so bad that there is a breach of the rights of older people in Northern Ireland.
Joshua, thank you very much indeed. Thank you, sir. And we will be doing just that. We will be going to the... We've already been in touch with the Human Rights Commission. We'll bring you their response tomorrow. To be fair, we need to give them some time to ask them if they are prepared to look into this case on behalf of the elderly people who died and the elderly people who survived but endured excruciating pain because of the treatment in this home. So I think one of the things that you will be familiar with the Nolan Show, we don't do a story and move on. We will stay with it and give it its due import. And I don't think anything gets more important than us trying to protect elderly, vulnerable Northern Ireland citizens. Now, Julianne, morning to you.
Morning, Stephen.
Your grandmother was in this home.
She was, Stephen. Granny Annie was there for 6 months.
And just remind us, Julianne, of some of what your granny endured.
She had missed mealtime, Stephen. She had been left in a bed full of urine and feces. She eventually had an accident in the home, and she was taken out of it on the 19th of June 2016, and she never returned. We took her home after that, Stephen, and we nursed her. She left hospital on the 15th of July, and we nursed her at home then until the 13th of November 2017, when she passed away.
You've contacted us today, Julianne, because you say the questions that I'm asking today is this really it now? Can the police do no more? Can the Public Prosecution Service do no more? Is it really going to be the case where elderly people were treated in this disgusting way? Nobody loses their job. No money is lost by that company. Nobody's prosecuted.
Stephen, we've been having this conversation for almost 2 years, myself and Aidan Hannah from Northern Ireland Patients' Voice. And we have asked all these questions at numerous meetings with the Trust, with Charlotte McCardle, Chief Nursing Officer, with Sean Holland, with lots of people. These are questions that we've been continuously asking, because you've got to remember, the concerns were already in place in 2014. So the trust already had concerns in 2014, especially around, let's look at Helen Karen McVicker's mum. The trust had concerns around wound care in 2014, and yet Karen McVicker's mum is able to die in 2016 from exactly that. It's crazy. You know, it's absolutely crazy.
So what have you decided to do?
Well, we, Stephen, we set up, the families set up a campaign for CCTV by law in care homes in all communal areas, entrances and exits. And we understand this isn't a fix-it thing. This isn't something on its own that will fix everything in care homes. But for some of us, it would have given some answers as to who was the last one in Granny's room, what time did they find her at, all these different questions. And we did meet with Sean Holland a while ago.
Who is Sean Holland?
Sean Holland, the Chief Social Worker for Northern Ireland. And he did advise us that his department were looking at a preparatory piece of legislation, of what legislation, sorry, should look like if this was to become law. And obviously then the Commissioner's report last week, I think it's Recommendation 7, that there should be something looked at with regards to CCTV.
And Julianne, some of the families are meeting today. What yep. for?
Some of the families are meeting today, Stephen. First of all, I don't have, I'm not across all families, so I would ask any family that wants to contact me after this, you could pass my number on.
Sure, of course
we'll families, do that. The families will be meeting today at 3 o'clock at Belfast City Centre with a solicitor. With regards, we'll be having the conversations today around criminal negligence and possible corporate manslaughter.
So you're going to seek legal advice as to whether you can pursue...
We will be pursuing it all the way, Stephen, and we feel that, I feel personally that as a group, as a family group, we would be stronger if we pursued this together rather than individually.
There's a statement that's just come through to the Nolan Show from the Public Prosecution Service who say the PPS received a file from police in April 2018 relating to the alleged willful ill-treatment of a patient at the Murray Manor nursing home prior to her death in 2016. A senior public prosecutor considered... You see, there's even a question within that for me. If someone's dying in 2016, how come the police are only receiving the PPS are only receiving a file from the police in April 2018. Mm-hmm. A senior public prosecutor considered all the available evidence and decided there was insufficient evidence to prosecute any of the three suspects. We understand that this decision may be distressing for the patient's family, and we are happy to meet with them to answer any questions they might have in relation to this decision. Contact will be made with the family shortly to offer them this opportunity. So after there is media scrutiny, the PPS yep. are offering to meet the family. I think there is a bigger question for the Public Prosecution Service, and we will talk to their people after this show. This is about public confidence in our whole system.
Yep.
And I would like to understand from the PPS, from the experts there, and they are experts, why they can't pursue this company. Because the company ultimately was taking money and in return was saying, we will keep these elderly people safe. And they did not do it.
And Stephen, we asked, at some of the meetings we went to, we asked, it's the only service provided that when you're not getting what you want for your money, there's never been a refund to the public purse.
Of course not.
Never,
of course
never
not.
Been a refund.
There's
from
no fine, no fine, no fine. They keep all the money. Nothing.
Yep. Nothing.
Julianne, will you stay in touch with us?
Yes, Stephen, I will.
I'm not letting this story go. It's not.
And we appreciate that.
Well, that's an understatement, I'm not letting this story go. Okay? Every single aspect of this story will be interrogated by this programme on behalf of those elderly people who couldn't speak for themselves.
Yep, thank you for that.
Julianne, thank you. The STLP's Pat Catney with us this morning.
Good morning, Stephen.
So, Pat, the question is, what should happen now?
Well, I think what we're trying to do anyhow is, I mean, we have written to the Chief Constable
Danny McDonald, Mark Durkin, myself, and Dolores Kelly. We've also written to the CEO of the nursing home there in Manor. We have written to the RQAI, so we are expecting meetings and to ask, just to put those serious questions to them. Stephen, I mean, we hear the stories and they are howling. My own mother, who's coming 93 and 1st of July, these are the elderly people. Most of these survived the Second World War, the 1930 downturn, the depression, the troubles that we've all come through. And, you know, the most difficult thing for any family is to put a person into care. You know, but it reaches the stage that we're not able to try maybe and look after maybe at home. And you expect the best of care and the best of service. And in my mother's case, this is not cheap. This is quite, it's probably somewhere in the region of about £800 a week. So, you know, even those that are funded and those that aren't funded, we expect everyone should be treated exactly the same. I mean, I hear people coming on, and I mean, I've been elected. That home I would know quite well. I would have visited constituents in it. It's just in off, so it is, into a housing development there, just off Queensway, not more than a half a mile from where I live. I would have known the home fairly well. This home is only built, I'm trying to think, it can't be any more than 5 years. This is a purpose-built development in order to set up and to look after it. There were two floors on it. I probably never really spent much time on the first floor. I always tended to go up to the second floor. And there was a meeting room within that second floor. To the right, I could go, and I felt fairly comfortable. The sitting room was just oak down that to the left,
yeah.
But I never went down to the left. I don't know what went on down there.
Well, and we're starting. I think we're starting to hear what went on behind closed doors. Pat, thank you very much indeed. I can tell you now that we are receiving significant information about Runwood Homes into the Nolan Show. We're receiving information from staff who work there. We're receiving information about other things that went on inside Dunmurry Manor Care Home. And I said again, here's what we'll be doing today. We're going to see if we can get the Public Prosecution Service, the police, and all of those different authorities that are there to protect us as a community, to speak up about why no one has been held to account for what happened to vulnerable, elderly, old people. And it could be you next, by the way. Just think about that.